much. You can be seated. To explain what you're seeing here tonight for visitors and such. Not all, but some of our families here in at Blessed Hope are homeschoolers. Many of us have graduated our children through, of course. When you're homeschooled, you don't have a class to graduate with. John has the honor of being valedictorian, salutatorian, and class joker all at the same time. I like a lot of us. So what you're seeing tonight is just our desire to honor a job well done, a fine young man and his mom who's educated him through his grade school, junior high, and high school years. And he just graduated, so we're going to have his formal graduation tonight. So that's what you're going to see. And first up here tonight is John has a word or two to say.
Well, I just want to start by, thanking my mom. She did a good job putting up with me for 12 years. Glad to have her. Just thankful that she raised me in a Christian home, taught me how to do right, and taught me a good work ethic. And just thankful that she taught me, when I was young, thankfully, the consequences and what happens, once you mess up. And thankfully, she taught me discipline, so that helps a lot. But, it's good to finally be getting close to being done anyways. School's starting this next fall, so I'll be starting that up and start a new set of schoolwork and all that. But the other thing is I'm thankful to be saved. When I was 6 years old, as a result of pastors preaching, and it convicted me. I was saved. I hadn't lived up here yet, but I got saved when I was living back in St. Paul. And accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I haven't had any doubts about it ever since.
Amen.
And I just want to thank the Lord for helping me through school, because it's not the easiest thing in the world. I need plenty of help with that, but just want to thank my mom for good influence and pastor for all the good preaching over the years, and that's it.
Now, for the last several years that we've done this, the spring / summer revival speaker has also doubled as the graduation speaker. So now the illustrious academician and educator, Mr. David Spurgeon, is going to stand up and preach a little charge, not just to John, as I said last night, but to all of us, I'm sure.
Amen.
So we're glad to have you, Brother Spurgeon.
Thank you, sir. Yes. Praise the Lord. What a privilege and an honor it is to be here ever to preach the glorious gospel of Christ, but to get in on this, an occasion such as this, it's no small thing. And in this day and age where people are famous for not finishing what they start, it is right, it is appropriate, to honor. The Bible says, honor unto whom honor is due. And sis, as a homeschooled dad, I am slightly aware of the sacrifice that you made. My wife, of course, will be much more well-versed in that. But praise the Lord for that, for you as well. Take your Bible tonight and open it to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 is a wonderful chapter. But when you get there, go back to Luke. Luke chapter 12. Put that away when I make mistakes. I don't want that on the internet tomorrow. Especially Facebook. Amen. Luke chapter 12 tonight, and we'll begin reading in verse 41. Read a couple of verses here. The Bible says, "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give him their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he shall make him rule over all that he hath. And if that servant say in his heart, that my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, and neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Verse 48 says this, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Notice what it says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him shall they ask the more. Let's pray again. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you, God, for the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation by grace, Lord, that made it possible for us to gather here as brothers and sisters, as like-minded believers, especially for an occasion to congratulate a young man who's accomplished much. And Father, now I pray that he take this charge to heart, and may the rest of us be reminded of some things as well. And I'll thank you for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. It says, unto whomsoever much is given, and it says over in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And most people like to zero in on the child being born thing around a certain time of year, because that's certainly no threat to anybody. Oh, baby Jesus in a manger doesn't really intimidate anybody, or at least it used to be that way. Of course, now more and more, even that threatens people. Amen. But the key to that thing right here in that verse is, unto us a son is given. And the Bible goes on to say, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who are they talking about? That son that was given. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John, you said here just a few moments ago that as a child, as a six-year-old, I believe, you received the gift of eternal life that came at a very expensive cost to God. Who gave his son, that came at an expensive cost to the Lord. The Bible says in Titus 2 that he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And it's safe to say there's no mistaking tonight, not only for John, but if you're in here tonight and you're saved, that truly much has been given. Amen. The gift of eternal life, a salvation we can't mess up. I preached that night a little bit on but grace are you saved through faith. And the Lord made it possible for us to get it and not lose it. I heard Dr. Ruckman say one time, there's a difference between falling in a plane and falling out of a plane. Amen. I'm glad that we have a salvation that if we fall, the Bible says a just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. I'm glad that the doors are shut on the plane and that we can't fall out. Listen, it is much to be given just to be saved. And then to be given a Savior that not only went to the cross for you, but was buried and rose again the third day, and of whom it is said in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee and never forsake thee. What about that? What about that? Talk about to whom much is given. And then you consider for a moment the unreachable scriptures, the unreachable, unsearchable, I'm sorry, riches of the holy. Unreachable, that's a new word. I just made that up. You write that down. And it says over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Boy, I like the sound of that word, escape. I got to preach on a jail roof one time in a little town, and they brought the prisoners up, and it was all fenced in, and that's where the basketball courts were. And of course, I got up there, about 40 guys, and I preached on, how shall we escape? I got their attention. I mean, the ones that were not paying attention, as soon as I said that, I got their attention. Of course, that got all the guards' attention, too. And they never, ever asked me back. I don't get it. But I'll tell you, John, the truth of the matter is, by the grace of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's exact. Hey, according to the Word of God, not according to how we feel, That's exactly what happened. We've escaped the corruption that is in the world. Talk about to whom much is given, the unsearchable riches of the Holy Scriptures. Amen. And we can't comprehend how important the Word of God is to God. The Bible says in Psalm 138 that He's magnified His Word above His name.
Yes, right.
We can't really get that. I wonder sometimes if God probably can't comprehend why the Bible isn't more important to us than it is. And why the fact that only a few centuries ago, Christians were burned at the stake so that you and I could have it. Well, son, the Bible said, of whom much is, to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. Certainly it's true that much has been given to you. He's given you a mother that loves you. That's no small thing. Don't ever get past that. Don't ever take that for granted. Also, he's given you a church family that loves you too and that cares for you and will be here for you and will pray for you. And boy, I tell you what, the list just keeps getting longer and longer. And what you end up with is, to whom much is given is the understatement of the day.
Yes, sir.
And of course, you know this. If you're really saved tonight, if anybody that is really born again, truly much has been given to us all. And it seems like it ought to be a given to appreciate it. But some things that seem like they ought to be common sense aren't as common as they ought to be. And truth of the matter is, a lot of people, I'm talking about Christians, are sometimes are more faithful to work and hobbies and personal interests and have more affection and give more attention to those kind of things than they do the Savior that went the distance for them. And I say that to say this, don't ever become guilty of that. Make sure you appreciate what's been done for you by the Lord, what's been given. It says, of him shall much be required. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's reasonable. Because much has been given to him, much has been given, of him shall much be required. And this ought to be a no-brainer for a Christian. You should try to endeavor to live according to the book you claim to believe in such a way that its influence on your life will be apparent both to the saved and the lost whose path you cross the rest of your life. That's what is required. And about that, it is reasonable. And you know what? That goes for everybody in here if you're saved. Amen? Every decision, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And if that's not a formula for success, then I don't know what is. Amen? I marvel at the people that I run into sometimes every other week who have the benefit of Bible salvation, who've had the benefit of a good education and a loving family and a church family like you, who are doing absolutely nothing with it, who act like they're doing God a favor because they're not doing this or that, or they stroll into church when it doesn't. Don't be like that.
No.
Don't be like some that have heard the preaching of the Word of God all their life to the point where they take it for granted and then are bound and determined to prove the preacher and the Bible right by learning things the hard way and accumulating regrets to such a degree that, well, it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God he says a just man falls seven times and rises up again. Thank God he's the God of chances. How many? I don't know. But a lot. And but I'll tell you what. You know, your point in your life, your time, your testimony, you've got a good start. And you've got a good start and a potential in your future to do more for God. somebody like me will ever do. Amen? So don't blow it. Don't waste it. Don't lose your focus. And don't come under the influence of a world that will chew you up and spit you out. And the good news is God will take you back. But sin never left anybody better than it found them. So don't take the chance. Of to whom much has been given, of him shall much be required. What a charge. But you're up to the task, son. You're up to the task. And our prayer is that you'll take it to heart. Amen? All right?
All right. I'd like to present to you John's professor and mother. She has a few words to say before she presents John his diploma.
This is always hard. So, you know, it's always good to start with thanks. And thanks is never a cliche, as much as, you know, we hear it and we say it. Being thankful is never a cliche. With that, I am very thankful for the freedom in this country to be able to homeschool. I'm sure you've all heard stories out there for families that aren't, you know, doing so hot in that area with the government. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the opportunity to have been presented with that option, and I wouldn't have been had I not been saved. And I got, hi Helga, I got saved in Germany and when I was in the service, and I've heard John say to me, I'm thankful that you got saved. So we could be, you know, in this together. I just wanted to go over just maybe one thing each that I took away from homeschooling. I didn't think I would, I wasn't thinking about the finish line, I guess. I was just thinking about day by day. And I want to thank John for putting up with me, because that's one of the verses that convicted me every month, including today, is Proverbs 14:1, and the ladies can look that up, but I can read it too. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And with that, I just want to say perfection is not a reality. And that's, you know, where we think it's a reality, that's what makes me crazy, probably. The most is just thinking that perfection is reality, and it's shouldn't be expected. It should be striven for. That's a word. I just wanted to say to the homeschooling ladies that wherever we lack, thank God that He makes our kids smarter than us. I'm very thankful for that. It's not us, it's God. And I also wanted to just say something that I've noticed with every birthday or with every passing school year with John, and I'm sure you all notice this too in your kids, but it's always encouraging to see the next step of maturity. And, you know, the Lord, it's a handful of purpose. And even though, you know, it's, you wait a while for it, or, you know, things, lots of things happen in between, I'm very thankful for your growth. And also, I just wanted to say that I felt like I lived 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, daily. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. I just, you know, that shouldn't be a discouragement, because we're all that way. I think that repetition is how we learn, and I could have shown a little more patience, so thank you for putting up with that. But as time went on, I just want to say that, for example, I would get home and from work, and he had done this or he had done that, and I mean, even the littlest thing, it was like, oh, yes, thank you for doing that, you know, on your own. And I didn't have to use 2 Peter 1:12. So I'm very thankful that we can be here, and I'm honored, and it's my pleasure to present you your diploma.
Amen.
Now, before we're dismissed here, finally, for the next few minutes, there is another accomplishment to be held forth here. A lot of us in this room have reared our children, taught our children. Some of us, by us, I mean Marcy and me, mainly Marcy, our children through their grade school, junior high school, and high school years like Renee has. And I can say, having graduated 3 of 4, the fourth is still pending, that I cannot imagine doing it alone. The number of days, nights that Marcy and I have talked ourselves to sleep and been concerned about developments at home, discussed decisions, where to draw the line, how far to let the line go, how long to let this go before we deal with it, that sort of thing. Very, very difficult thing to do alone. And Renee, we're not trying to embarrass you at all here, but I've talked to Renee enough to know that I know she didn't feel that she was always steadfast and doing the greatest job possible. Renee, I wanted you to know that for those of us here, you've done this alone, it's been forced upon you. This comes from us, because what we saw of your testimony was steadfastness and faithfulness in service, faithfulness to John and to friends, and we appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Amen.
Will you all stand with me as John exits down the right aisle? Amen. Take just 5 minutes to take a break. If you need a potty break after only 20 minutes, you're in bad trouble. But get a drink of water and come back in. We'll get started with our main service. Please stay around if you just came for the graduation. We'd love for you to hear more of Brother Spurgeon tonight. You're dismissed for now.